Welcome to the Shaping Portsmouth podcast. Shaping Portsmouth is a collaboration of key Portsmouth businesses, transforming Portsmouth together.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Shaping Portsmouth podcast. I am here with the brilliant Bianca Carr from Final Straw Foundation. Welcome.
Hello, thank you for having me.
It's amazing to be chatting to you today, Bianca. I'm really excited to learn more about what you get up to. You recently joined Shaping as a member.
Yep.
Which is amazing. And we are so glad that you're part of our Shaping family. How is it going so far?
Yeah, it's going great. We've been aware of Shaping for a long time. And we've always been saying, do you know what? That's something we've got to do. We've got to do that. We've got to do it. And we never got around to it. And then something else happens. And, you know, we've been to a few of your events and a bit more. Saying, why haven't we done that yet? And then I said, guys, have we done that? And someone said, yeah, we looked into it and I never really followed through. I was like, right, let's get ourselves in gear. And yes, we finally got ourselves sorted and we've joined.
Amazing.
And yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's great to have you. It would be really wonderful for you to share a little bit about who you are, what you get up to, and just give us a bit of background about the Final Straw Foundation.
Yeah, so yeah, I am Bianca Carr and I am the founder of Final Straw Foundation. I am also the CEO, which to me sounds very serious and sensible, but really I'm the one that kind of has ideas and makes things up and says, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
We need to make things better. And then I have some other amazing ladies around me that go, whoa, 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 whoa. Hang on a minute, Bianca. Calm down. And then they do the sensible stuff and say, right, you can't do that. So I founded Final Straw about 8 years ago nearly now. Mm-hmm. I was on a beach with my son. He was three at the time. And we wanted to play. And he said, Mummy, I don't want to play here because it's dirty. And I was like, oh, and I hadn't really noticed. And he didn't want to play on the beach because it was gross. And I was like, what do you mean, baby? You know, and he showed me some of the waste and bits of rubbish. And I was like, okay. So we moved on. And then we made some sandcastles further along. Mm-hmm. And then he was decorating those sandcastles with microplastics and bits of waste. And I thought, hang on a minute. This isn't how it used to be for me. I used to decorate sandcastles when I was a kid, which was a while ago, but with shells. There was the odd lollipop stick, you know, and seaweed and all sorts of really gorgeous natural stuff.
Yeah.
But my little man was going, well, look at these cool colours, Mummy. This one's yellow. This one's green, you know, and I'm thinking, this isn't normal. And I don't want you to think this is normal.
Yeah, that it's okay.
I want other people to realise this. So I thought, we've got to do something. So I thought, let's start a little group where I could go and do a beach clean and get the local people to do that. We're just in Emsworth, just outside Portsmouth, and see if there's any appetite for what I was thinking about. I then wanted to go to all the pubs and all the cafes in the village and say, let's stop using plastic straws. So this was back in the day, way before we banned it and all of that. And then I wanted to go to the three little local primary schools, and I wanted to talk to them and say, do you know what single-use plastic is? And why it's really important that we don't use that and that we put things in the bin. Mm-hmm. And they were my goals.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, yeah, I think I could probably do that. So sitting in my jammies on the sofa with my little man asleep on my lap. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to make a little group and then I can go and do that. And I can show him what we're supposed to do and that people can make a difference and that you don't just wait for someone else.
Yeah.
So I am
very inspirational.
Yeah, I pushed the button on. It was making a Facebook page. That was all it was, you know, 8 years ago, and did that, and then arranged a beach clean. And I thought, oh, crikey, is anyone going to bother? Mm-hmm. Anybody can turn up. Beach clean day came, and we had 200 people turn up.
Wow,
it was incredible. And obviously, I didn't have enough litter pickers. I didn't have enough gloves. Didn't have any of that stuff because, well, why would I think that it's actually going to work? And we removed so many bags of litter. I can't even remember the whole, you know, the amounts that we took away. And that was on Hailing Island.
Okay.
So I thought, oh, crikey. And then I went and did the cafes and it all worked. And then within about a week of publishing that Facebook page, I had businesses that were all over Portsmouth saying to me, can we be part of your campaign? And I was like, what campaign? I said, what have I done?
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden I was like, this could be awesome. I could ask all of these businesses in Portsmouth to stop using plastic straws, you know, and make a little different, reduce one item of single-use plastic in their everyday business world. And imagine the amount of plastic that's just not being used and saved.
Yeah.
So I just said to them, yeah, of course you can be involved. And it literally went from there. Then I had more people saying, well, when are you going to do another beach clean? I said, oh, okay, I'd only planned one.
Yeah.
But brilliant. And so with my friend Lizzie, we said, right, this is something. And we got to figure it out. And yeah, that was it. Final straw happened.
It was born, yeah.
And now, yeah, 8 years later, we're a fully fledged charity. We have got 6 people that work for us. Mostly part-time. So there's 1 or 2 full-timers.
Yeah.
And we do some amazing, amazing things to help our environment and help the people of the whole of the Solent. So Portsmouth is a huge part of what we do, but it's just a little bit. So we go all the way along Chichester, all the way to Southampton. We even cross the water and we go to the Isle of Wight as well. And we do some amazing projects that are all just to help our environment, all for the right reasons.
It's so amazing to me that just like one tiny seed of an idea has grown into something. And how wonderful that you're showing your son, and I guess all of us in the community, like you can't sit around and wait for that person to kind of swoop in and then you join something. Like if you're really passionate about a cause and if, you know, if something really matters to you, everyone has the opportunity to kind of to start something or to collaborate and to help.
Yeah, absolutely. I just thought with it, I was like, I don't want him to see that there's something going on.
Mm.
And he'd highlighted an issue to me and I did nothing. Mm. And I was like, let's show him that you can stand up and help. And it could be the tiniest little action. Yeah. And you know, when we amplify all those actions together, God, can we make a big difference?
Yeah.
And it has. It's made a wicked difference.
It's so often cool. That, isn't it? That kind of, they say like that 1% change.
Yeah.
But if you have that in all businesses or even just the people in your local community start thinking a little bit differently, how can they make this small change, they all add up, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. So these tiny movements that you get together and you say, yeah, we've banned plastic straws now. Mm. Wicked. What difference is it going to make? But actually, when you add up every single plastic straw out there, that's a huge difference.
Yeah.
All we need now is to do the next step.
Okay.
And we're desperately waiting for that. We're waiting for them to say, the government, to say, right, what are we going to ban next?
Okay.
Because there are other cool products out there that are already really available that we can use and we can make a change to.
And what would you say, what are you waiting for? Like what's the next big step for you? What would you target?
Well, at the moment, as Final Straw, we started off purely on single-use plastics. So obviously I want single-use plastics to be eradicated.
Mm-hmm.
However, I'm not naive and it's not going to happen overnight and things like that. I would like to try and reduce some of the confectionery packaging.
Okay.
Because there are different alternatives that we can use because they are using that already. But I feel that maybe a bigger problem that we've got, or an equally as large problem that we've got right now, is our water quality.
Okay.
And we work really hard on that as Final Straw as well, because we work on pollution of all sorts.
Mm-hmm.
So it isn't just about single-use plastics anymore. We do restoration of the Solent, and for our ecosystems, we also really work hard on our water quality, and we've done some great little projects. I say little projects. One project was really big, and looking at the chemicals that were actually present in Langston Harbour.
Okay,
that was really interesting. We worked with the University of Portsmouth there and Professor Alex Ford, and he's incredible.
Okay,
and we do lots and lots of water quality, so we've got more of that coming up. So my change would be something amazing that could happen to reform the sewage industry.
Okay.
That's what we need.
So no small.
No, yeah, it's not there. Block one other tiny item. No, I need some change there.
Okay.
That is really damaging our seas, damaging our ecosystems, and it's causing a problem for humans. We can't go and swim. You know, this is a time where things are quite tricky financially.
Mm-hmm.
People need to be able to have access to certain things.
And free activities.
Free, yeah. Yes, exactly. And, you know, we can't all just keep going out for coffees and doing this, that and the other because it costs a fortune.
Mm.
There are people who need to be able to access the beach and to go in the water and to really enjoy that at a time when everything is so expensive. To be stopping free activities because we're not caring for it isn't acceptable. And, yeah, I really, really want them to clean up this sewage scandal.
And I hear you on all those points. I think it is a really important time for people to be able to access things for free. And like, we have such a beautiful seafront here.
Oh, we do. This is why we're here, right? This water is why we're here. Water is everything. We're an island. And it's just amazing. Look at this weather we've had recently.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a heat wave and it was, you know, interesting and a little bit
interesting
concerning.
Interesting is a good word. Yeah.
Concerning as to why we were so hot.
Yes.
But the only real thing people could do was jump in the sea to cool down. Mm-hmm. We don't have air conditioning and all of that around here. You know, it's not a thing.
Yeah.
And for people to have to be concerned that the water is clean isn't acceptable. We need to be able to go and access those free resources that we've got on this beautiful island.
And what are some of the projects you mentioned? So it sounds like you're a
very busy
lady. And I know you have a small team, small but mighty, like all the best teams.
Yep.
So talk to me about some of the projects you've been involved with. And, and what's coming up, I guess, is a good
question. So what we do is we have like a three-prong approach of restore, protect and educate.
Okay.
So with that, we do a lot of educational materials. That might be going to local stores and fetes and things like that to say, you know, who we are and what we do, mm-hmm. And encourage people to fall in love with the ocean. We think that if you don't fall in love with it and you don't experience what's going on out there, then why are you going to care?
Yeah. Why would you want to?
Why would you want to? Because what's it going to mean to you? You need that personal link and experience. So we educate people on that, mm-hmm. any people. Mm-hmm. But we also run some really amazing school education programs where we go into schools and we deliver assemblies. We deliver assemblies all about plastic pollution, all about what our water is facing right now and what our seas are and what we can do to help. So we do that and we have been into hundreds of schools, 300 and something schools to talk about this all over the Solent. And we go back to schools.
How are they received, the assemblies? How are the young people kind of hearing your message? Yeah.
They love it. Yeah. It depends on the age mm-hmm. that we're doing so we target that to the right key stage of education level and all of that. But the kids love it. And for us, when we get there and talking about it, the excitement of them and that when they're saying how they love this creature and they love that creature and they want to do this. And the amount of kids in the assemblies that said, well, I already beach clean. I've beach cleaned with you before. I've beach cleaned with South Sea Beach Watch.
That's amazing.
I've beach cleaned and I've done this. And that just is so exciting to us. We're like, yes. Or we pick up litter on our walk to school with mum. And, you know, I'm like, yes, legends.
Mm.
That's what we want. People to already be doing something.
And create
that
culture in children and young people.
Yeah, they care.
That they care.
It's really amazing. The kids care. And we found that they go home and then they teach their parents and their grandparents and all sorts of people or whoever's caring for them. And that's really awesome to us. So we do lots of assemblies. We do lots of workshops as well on plastic pollution. So like we've got a game about Baz and Gaz, and these are two seagulls. And they're trying to eat their worms and things off the beach, but they keep eating microplastics. So we do a little game with that, and then they're picking up bits of plastic and putting it in there, mm-hmm. into their seagulls as such, and then the seagulls' tummies get full of plastic, and then there's no room left for food. Mm-hmm. So they understand then what actually happens when animals ingest single-use plastic or plastic particles, and then it means that they can't fit their food in. So they understand that, and then they look at what other happens with waste that they get entangled with. And things like that. So that's quite a nice one. It's not nice, but nice.
Yes.
The children really enjoy it and they learn, which is great. And then one of our other favourite education things is we run wild beach schools.
Wow.
And wild beach schools,
great.
Oh yeah, I just love it. I love it. I love it. It's incredible. We have wild beach school leaders in our team and we take children to the beach. We take them outside of the classroom and we take them down to the beach and we say, right, this is our environment. This is what we're trying to look after and why. Have you ever been to the beach? Some of them haven't.
And
they live
always,
so close.
I know that always really kind of
tugs at the heartstrings.
Hurts my heart. Yeah,
oh, yeah, absolutely.
To think that there are people, young children and people in the city that haven't.
Sometimes we forget how privileged we are.
Yeah.
You know, and just by people who have gone to the beach already are privileged because there are some children that haven't seen it. We've taught some children on beach schools and they said, well, we've seen the beach before, we've driven past it on the motorway. And you're like, okay, this is why we need to right those wrongs and why these free activities are so important.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we take the children down there. We learn about the wind. We learn about the tide. We learn about what creatures are on our shore. We have aquascopes so they can paddle up to their knees and look under the waves, and they can see what creatures they might be able to spot. We do a little litter pick. We tell stories. We make shelters. You know, all sorts of things that just makes these children realise how awesome it is to be outside, to learn in a different environment.
And connect to that environment.
Outside of the classroom setting, connect and hopefully fall in love. They find crabs and they see a crab in real life. And it's so exciting, and the squeals are incredible.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's wicked. And we do that a lot for underprivileged children. So, and any schools that have a high number of pupil premium children, we provide everything we do for free.
And so that's the funding that you receive, and I guess, I mean, how does that work?
So the funding is, we are incredibly lucky.
Yeah.
We work really hard for it, but we're really lucky that there are some amazing businesses and people out there and big grant bodies that support us and help us to do our work. So yeah, Wild Beach Schools, education, all of that is all completely paid for by grant bodies that we've got following and supporting us. So even with the schools to beach schools, a huge problem of getting people to the beach is that they haven't got transport and the schools can't afford transport. So instead of saying, well, you know, you can't come, we pay for that transport. That's last year we paid £7,500 just on beach schools transport to get children to the beach so they can have this experience. And we do that every year. We've done it for 4 years now. So it's grants and it's businesses who sponsor things like that.
Yeah.
That is just incredible because we make sure these kids, are having some fun.
And how amazing that you can offer all of that for free.
You know? That's our big thing. We don't charge schools anything. It's really important. The schools haven't got the money and we want these children to experience that and fall in love with the sea just like we have. But yeah, that's part of our education side. And then our restoration side is quite fun. Mm-hmm. It's where you can actually get hands-on and start looking after some creatures and doing some good stuff. So we have worked with Blue Marine Foundation and we have actually installed 10,000 oysters around Portsmouth area. Native oysters. Blue Marine have given us all the info and all the equipment we need. We use the lab in Portsmouth down in the Marine Science Building to do the biosecurity scrubbing because biosecurity is so important. We don't want to bring any bugs into our system that's from a different area. Mm-hmm. So we do scrubbing there, but we get people to help us, local people who can come and actually be a part of science and restoration. And it's really cool and people love it.
They do some incredible work at Blue Marine Foundation.
Oh, they're
so
good.
I have a really good friend that works there and I hear about, you know, what they're doing, not just locally.
Oh, they're huge. They're all over the world and they are the real inspiration, I feel. They, you know, we look at them and think, that is cool. And we just want to be a tiny part of that, but only locally.
Yeah.
We don't want to spread, you know,
we want to contribute. Like,
and I want to make their work bigger and better by helping them achieve their goals.
Yes.
So hence we wanted to help do our bit to restore the native oysters. Yeah. So that's really cool. So we do that. And then Dr. Luke Helmer is incredible over there. And Louise McCallan. And,
yes, that's my friend.
Oh,
Louise.
Louise is amazing.
Yeah,
we've done
great.
Some work with Louise for years and she's wicked. And they're just brilliant. And without them, we wouldn't be in any kind of position to do our restoration work. So, yeah, we're incredibly grateful for them. Mm. And, it's brilliant. So that's some of the other stuff. We're actually starting a seahorse project as well, which is really exciting. So we're going to be helping put some extra habitats for some seahorses around the Portsmouth area. And we are hoping to encourage seahorses to call these waters our home. We do have seahorses here. We have them. They've been found in Chichester Harbour. They've been found in Langston Harbour. So underneath pontoons in certain marinas, we're going to be putting what we call seahorse hotels.
Wow.
So there are little areas where the seahorses will have an area of respite where they can be protected from predators. They can hide. They can make that their home and they can feel safe. And it's very exciting. And that project is launching in a couple of weeks, really. We're doing permissions and licenses and all sorts of things. But yeah, watch this space for seahorses as well. Which is awesome.
Well, and if we have any seahorse enthusiasts out
there, yeah, come and get involved.
Support the project. And I'm sure, you know, they have such kind of like a childlike.
Well, they're gorgeous, aren't
they,
as well?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about people with families and children that would be interested to know about this. So
yeah, what we were thinking, if we would like to put each hotel as being one of our local hotels.
Amazing.
So they have a hotel on the land and then under the water. And then they can have a link with a little camera and we can see what seahorses are in that hotel and send that back to the actual hotel and land. I think that could be cool.
Yes,
so maybe I need to speak
really
to some
cool.
of the local hotels.
Well, we have some brilliant hotels in our network, Bianca, who I'm sure would be
interested
to hear. You know, I can just see the Queen's Hotel sponsoring there.
Yeah, it'd be so fun. Well, I've
Queen's
told
Seahorse
obviously
Hotel.
I've been speaking to Love South Sea as well, so we're going to have a Love South Sea hotel.
Amazing.
Yeah, and that's going to be amazing. Very exciting, lots of different things. But yeah, so that's our restoration arm. And then we've got the community engagement kind of side. So we do beach cleans. We've done over 300 beach cleans. That has ranged all the way from sort of the West Wisherings all the way down to Southampton. But we've removed 69,000 kilos of waste off our beaches.
That's incredible.
Which is crazy. And a really big part of that is Portsmouth. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of beach cleans around the Eastney area, around the Marine Science Building, where it gets neglected a bit and treated quite badly.
Okay.
So we go down there. We've had skips. We've had big, massive grab bags, all sorts. And we've taken away tons and tons and tons of waste from our beaches in Eastney. And we're incredibly proud of that. And it's just making it a space that people want to use. And that's just brilliant. So yeah, beach cleans is a huge one of what we do.
And we actually have, we have it scheduled. So we have our sort of mental health walk and talk.
Yeah.
And we're joining forces for one
yes,
of those.
Yes, we are.
And I think that's a really positive thing. And hopefully we can continue to kind of grow and build that because it shares your work with our community.
Yeah.
And if we're doing these walk and talks anyway, it gives them a little bit more of a purpose and it means that people are supporting their mental well-being by being outside.
Exactly.
And connecting with each other.
Connecting with each other.
But giving back. And
connecting with the world as well. Connecting with our environment.
Yes.
And the Blue Health ethos is incredible. It makes you feel good.
Mm.
You're down there on the beach. It's blowing the cobwebs away. You feel good. And that's so important, is to try and, you know, increase the serotonin levels, make you feel better and enjoy the environment whilst you're looking at all this gorgeous stuff. And it works. It really does.
And also that giving back element, I think, is so, it's so good for your well-being to feel like you're contributing to something. And, you know, we all have a responsibility to help protect the environment, and to be able to join forces and to collaborate with that, I think it just has an extra sort of extra layer of I was going to say specialness. I don't know if that's a word, but I'm going with
it. It's a good word, though. We'll have it.
yeah,
absolutely.
We'll take it.
Yeah, and with our, you know, how amazing our city is, this is just wicked. We've got the Portsmouth 100 coming up.
Yes.
Like, you know, all of that. And we've got We Are Pompey. We want to get the City of Culture bid done.
Yes.
You know, all of that. This all comes into it. Let's look after the city.
Mm.
Let's clean up. If you're out there, pick up the rubbish, clean it up. Let's make it a better place because we've already got an incredible city as it is. We're so lucky that we're going to just keep going, keep elevating it.
And if you think about the culture bid, and I know that Gemma is passionate about when the culture bid, when we get the culture
when
bid.
When we get it, yes.
When you think about all of those extra tourists coming to the city, like you want to have
I want them to see that it's beautiful and proud and clean. And I want them to also come and know this is what we're about.
Yeah.
This is our island and we are proud of it and we want you to treat it the same way. Yeah, it's leaving that legacy.
Because you can really feel it. Like whenever I've visited other countries, like you can look around somewhere and be like, wow, this place is immaculate.
Yeah, people care.
People care here. Mm-hmm. You can feel it. You can feel that people care. And it really encourages you to want to keep that up. Like when you're a visitor somewhere, you're like, oh, wow, like we really need to be
absolutely extra
respectful here. So it's kind of like start as you mean to go on with
exactly.
that. If we're going to have extra people visiting, we want them, one, to feel that we care, but also to kind of like contribute to that respect for the place.
Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, everybody here, we've got such an amazing community where people are a family.
Mm.
Like Portsmouth is one big family. And together, God, we could make such a good difference with everything. So yeah, hopefully we can get everybody else litter picking things up, and we get to the point where, well, there's nothing on the beaches. We don't need to do these beach cleans because everybody picks it up every day. The Commons immaculate. It's such a cool place to be.
Yeah.
We just need to make sure that everybody is the big family together and we're working as a team.
Yeah, I hear you. And I guess we have lots of lovely businesses and organisations within our network. Like, is there anything that you're looking for, or is there an ask that you have of those?
Always. Always looking for stuff. Just from any businesses, anybody at all, really. Yeah. Get involved. Mm. See what we've got to offer and see if there's a way that we can link together and work. There could be some really cool collaborative ideas. Your business might want to work on being a bit more eco, or you just want to come out and do a beach clean and you want to have that mental health feeling.
Yeah.
So you get your team out there on the beach, we'll pick up a load of litter, we'll feel good, we'll see the good because you can actually visibly see what you're doing.
It's tangible, isn't
it? Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Or maybe you're really keen about education and you want to help support the beach school sessions, maybe pay for the transport, whatever, anything.
Yeah.
There is always a way that we can figure out how we can be together. And it just makes such a big difference for the city, for the environment, and for everyone, really. It would be amazing to link up with some more businesses.
Okay. Well, if anyone is listening that's interested, all of the details of the Final Straw Foundation are on our website under the members page. But is there any way that people can learn more, follow you? Do you have a newsletter?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a newsletter. We'd love you to sign up to the newsletter, but we've got everything on our website as well. Final Straw Foundation. We are about to launch a new website, which is really exciting. And the fabulous team at Delivered Social are doing that for us.
Amazing.
So, yeah, so we've been bugging them with, oh, change this, do that. So they're probably fed up of us by now, but they're ready to launch.
Great.
And then we've got all of our usual social channels at Final Straw Foundation. And you can follow us with everything. Have a look what we're up to. And we want you as part of the team. We want you as a volunteer. We want you to give us your ideas, anything that could make this place and our environment better. To get in touch.
Like you say, it's that teamwork, isn't it? And I think the city is great at collaborating.
Yes.
But sometimes, you know, we have so many amazing charities and organisations.
There's some wicked ones
CICs
around here. It's so good.
We're so lucky, but I think sometimes you might not have heard about someone or you just don't know. So I think...
Yeah, because there's a lot of charities and sometimes people say, I just didn't hear about that one. There's some other bigger ones that I've been hearing or other little ones. Like, for example, a massive shout out to Sophie's Legacy.
Yes.
They worked with Lano Yoga yesterday, I think it was. Or was it the day before? And they paddled across to the Isle of Wight, paddleboarding and canoeing. And I just thought, God, that's just amazing. Yeah. What an amazing way to bring in nature, to be helping a local charity and having something good mental health-wise.
Yeah.
So that was cool. So yeah, shout out to some other cool local charities that we're all working together. And we love collaborating with other charities as well. There's no, hey, we want this, you know, not you lot. It's, we're a team, we're a family with everyone.
Exactly. And it's about making the city better together.
Yeah, exactly.
And everyone moving forward together. No, I hear you on that. I think that's something that we do really well in Portsmouth.
That is, one thing I love about Portsmouth is that family. Everyone treats each other really well and with respect, and they link together. And it's beautiful.
Well, I love that, Bianca. I've really loved chatting to you. I wonder, as we kind of wrap this conversation up, is there anything, any big plans happening?
Anything? I should tell you about our new plans.
What's coming next?
So we've got all the usuals happening.
Yes.
We're still beach cleaning. We will always be beach cleaning. Mm-hmm. I think there's enough plastic out there in the ocean that's going to keep washing up for a long time to keep us busy. We are going to be installing another 20,000 native oysters this year. I think that'll be in about October, November.
Okay.
So we will be looking for people to help scrub with the biosecurity. So
amazing.
Watch out for that on the website and the socials.
Yeah.
We are also starting some more water quality projects.
Okay.
Water quality is really obviously close to our heart. We've been running two sites for the last year. We have been taking 365-day samples of the water. We've been doing that in Emsworth and on Hayling Island just to have our two sites as a trial.
Okay.
It's gone really well. It's been busy. It's been hard. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, to make sure we've got enough volunteers and people to come down and actually take all those samples and do the work. But it's been awesome and we are now expanding that. We are going to be testing the water. 10 sites in Chichester Harbour, 5 sites along Portsmouth Seafront, 5 sites on the Isle of Wight. And we're hoping to also get some sites together a little bit further along the Solent. But we are excited to bring that to you. And those will be results that could show you close to real-time water quality as possible. Results will be available in 15 minutes.
Okay.
So it can be, we'll test the water. We're going to have an app launched. You can check the app and it will tell you what the actual water quality is. Then you can make an informed decision if you want to enter the water or not.
Okay.
So it's not just about if there's been a sewage release or there's something happened. It will tell you the exact quality of the water.
Yeah.
So, you can make a decision, see what you want to do. And I think that's going to be really exciting, but we'll need volunteers for that. We sure. need some more people to come and take those samples every day for us. And obviously we need money. Everybody needs money for all mm-hmm. of that. But yes, if anybody wants to get in touch.
You know, sounds huge. It's no yeah. it's no small task.
No, the app itself isn't that expensive, actually. It's been quite nice, but it's hard work to do.
Yeah.
But to test the water every day okay. for every single site costs us £30.
Right, okay.
And, you know, when you're doing, so the Chichester sites alone are costing us £100,000 for the year.
Okay, wow. Yeah.
So it's going to cost us, to do the five sites in Portsmouth, probably about £45,000, maybe 30 if we can get some discounts and knock it down a bit.
Okay.
But yeah, we've got some money in, so we're going to be raising money all year to help us fund our water quality. But I think that's really important, to be able to tell people, this is what's in the water. And that's mm-hmm. fine. If you want to go in, go for it. But if you don't, because you know what we've told you.
It isn't making an informed decision.
Exactly. And
it?
It's nothing yeah. to do with us if you want to go in or not. We're just giving you that information and that power to make your decision. So I think that's really cool. And yeah, hopefully.
Sounds like a busy year.
It's
going to
be busy, but I think it's going to be really worth it.
Something tells me all of your years are busy, Bianca.
Yeah, it is actually. It's been a busy 8 years.
Yeah.
Worth it.
But
totally worth
it. Of course. And I can just feel your passion for this. And I think if you're working in an area that is so linked to your passions, it doesn't always feel like work.
I never
right?
knew this was my passion, though.
Okay.
I don't know where it came from. It was literally that day
yeah.
with my kids building sandcastles and plastic. And I've always been an animal lover mm-hmm. and, you know, liked outside and all of this stuff. But I've never been like what I would say as an environmentalist. Mm-hmm. I was just a person.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden this happened after my really squiggly career, and now I'm into this environmental world. I'm like, how did that happen? It's weird how things can take over.
Yeah
I didn't see this being a thing.
I guess some things are bigger than us, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
And then the more you know, the more you learn,
yeah,
and the more you want to help, you know. And it's just that, like, you know, a tiny
yeah you can plant
tiny
a seed
river,
right? Yeah,
and just turns into kind of like a big sea.
Exactly. And yeah, it's that tiny seed that was sown and sparked a little thing, and then all of a sudden it grew, and I was, oh yeah, a little bit more of this, and then, you know, a bit more of that, and oh, hang on a minute, I'm in a full environmental campaign and I love this and I really feel it, and that's just amazing. And I'm incredibly lucky to be doing what I'm doing because I love it.
And I'm so happy to hear that. And like, I can only say from this conversation and looking at the work you've done and speaking to your team, like, we're incredibly grateful that you have this passion and enthusiasm that you want to do so much good in the city and to support all of the young people and kind of share your message and make the city the best it can be. So thank you.
Thank
you. One last question that I'm going to ask. We ask everybody as we end. Do you have a favourite place or thing, activity? It could be anything in Portsmouth. Help us celebrate Portsmouth and share with us.
Yes. So for me, my favourite bit is the hot walls.
Nice.
I love the mix of the old and the ocean together. I love looking through those arches. I don't know what they're proper called, you know. I don't know the real words, but I love looking through the arches and seeing the sea and then being under there and thinking, this is old.
Yes.
This is beautiful and this is part of heritage and history. And then you go out onto the water and it's that link with what we've built there from seasons past, years and years and years ago. And then, yeah, being on the water with that, I think that is awesome.
Yeah, it is a real mix because you have like the history there with the buildings, obviously the sea, but then you have like the artists.
Yeah, and
the
I love all of
studios.
That. I love the mix of it all together.
And that you really do get a snapshot of everything that makes the city, don't you?
Yeah.
Like right just in that section.
Exactly, yeah. So that's my favourite bit. I just love the look. I love the feel.
Ah, thank you so much for sharing that with us. It's been an absolute joy to talk to you, Bianca.
Yeah, thank you.
Anyone that's listening wants to learn more, we can share exactly where to head. And we look forward to kind of more supporting you with the beach cleans.
Yeah, we can't wait to get you out on the beach and get you working.
Our mental health walk and talk. So if you've missed one that's coming up, then please follow our events page because we'll share all the details on any future beach cleans.
Perfect.
With Bianca. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
This podcast was brought to you by Shaping Portsmouth, working to make Portsmouth the number one UK city in which to invest, live, learn, work and visit. To find out more, please visit shapingportsmouth.co.uk. This podcast was supported by Spark Community Space and Portsmouth Community Lottery.